Hi, this is Pastor Dan Seaman at Northridge Church. On Sunday morning, July 26th, we had a wonderful worship service together, and part of that included a testimony from Coach Mark Miller, who leads the Northridge Basketball Academy, and he's the Director of Sports Outreach here at Northridge. After that, Pastor Sam McGarvey shared a wonderful update from our partner field in Kosovo, and it was a tremendous morning together to celebrate what God's been doing around the world. Now, because some of that information is important to keep very secure for the safety of those who are serving on those front lines, we're not able to post those two portions of that Sunday morning message. So we're sorry that we can't share that with you here, but after Sam shared about Kosovo, he did also share this message for Northridge Church, which is short in length, but very, very important in the life of our fellowship. So I hope that you'll enjoy this next 10 or 11 minutes. And if you would like to find out more information about what's been happening with the Basketball Academy around the world or with our partnership field in Kosovo, then please don't hesitate to contact us in the church office, and we would love to share that with you, especially if you're a member of Northridge Church. Thanks so much. I hope you enjoy this now.
Now, shift gears one last time. I'm not going to preach a message this morning, okay? So what I would like to do is just give you tell you what I'm going to be preaching about for the coming weeks, okay? Some of you are skeptical, I know, but I'm going to do my best here. A few weeks ago, probably not that long ago, recently I was reading Luke 1. Luke 1 is the story where the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah when he's in the temple burning incense before the Lord. And the angel tells Zechariah that he and his wife Elizabeth are going to give birth to a son. It will be John the Baptist. And so the angel is describing what John is going to do as he comes to prepare the way for Christ. I happened to be reading that day out of the English Standard Version. The English Standard Version is a great translation of the scripture, probably the most accurate word for word, sometimes a little awkward in English because of that. But as I was reading that, I came to Luke 1:17, and as Gabriel is describing the ministry of John the Baptist, Gabriel says, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. To make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And without any hesitation, I just seemed that I think this was of the Lord. I'm hesitate sometimes to say, oh, but it seemed as if the Lord was just saying, there's your job description. As the pastor of Northridge Church, you are to be making ready for the Lord a people prepared. Now, the question, of course, is, well, prepared for what? And just as John the Baptist was coming, preparing the way for the Lord because the Lord was soon coming to be born at Bethlehem and to be among them, we know that we live in this season between the ascension of Christ and his return. So what we need to be prepared for is the return of the Lord in glory. And there's a verse from 1 John 2:28 that includes some wording that I think helped me finish the thought to make ready for the Lord a people prepared, and then from 1 John 2:28, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed at his coming. To make ready for the Lord a people prepared, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed at his coming. Now, we live in this era that the Bible calls the last days. The last days started when Jesus ascended back to be at the right hand of the Father. We've been living in the last days ever since. The early church was living in the last days. We're still living in the last days. It's this age that we sometimes refer to as the age of the church, as God is building his church. Sometimes we refer to the age of the gospel, when the gospel of grace is being shared. Sometimes we talk about it as the age of the Gentiles. Believers from all the tribes and nations coming to Christ. And sometimes we speak of this as the age of the Holy Spirit, when God poured out his Spirit and and in new measure and in new fullness, and the church now filled with the Spirit. This age is soon will end. It's temporary. We know that. And so the question is, if we are those who God is getting ready, if we are those who are going to be prepared, what should we be doing? So here's the quick outline, okay? Just quickly, the four things, and this will be kind of preaching themes over the next days, over the next weeks. The first thing is, I mean, the great thing is this, we don't have to wonder. The Scripture gives us very clear instructions about what we are to be found doing when Jesus comes back. When Jesus comes back, here's what the church is to be found doing. First of all, we are to be making disciples of all the nations. That was the instruction that the Lord gave the church. Go take this gospel into all the world. Go make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey the things I've taught you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to receive power. And under that Holy Spirit anointing, under that fresh empowering by my Spirit, you begin in Jerusalem. For us, our Jerusalem is Raleigh. You begin in your neighborhood and you go out to the nations with the gospel. And I'll be with you till the end of the age. Till I come back, till the very end of the age, I will be with you as you do that. So we're committed to that. We're a church that believes in that. We've been talking about this morning. But I just remind you that we can get so familiar with that, it just gets to be old stuff after a while. And what if we seriously asked again, Lord, how is it that we can reach our neighborhood, be faithful in reaching our community, and then also reaching the world? Here's the second thing we're to be found doing when Jesus comes. There are so many places in the Word of God where Jesus tells us that we are to be stewards of what he puts in our hands. And he tells these stories. One of them we looked at last week, the story of the minas, where the master comes and he gives a mina. A mina was an amount of money equal to about three months' wages. He gives a mina to each of 10 servants. And the old King James Version had the master saying, now occupy till I come. The NIV says, now go engage in business till I get back. You know, go take what I'm giving you and get busy. Invest it. I'm entrusting it into your hands. And so stewardship isn't just about money. Of course, it is about money, but not just about that. It's stewardship of all kinds of resources that God puts in our hands. Some of them are monetary resources. Some of them are talents and abilities. Some of them are spiritual gifts. Some of them are unique opportunities that God gives to us. Some of ours are relationships that we have. All these things that God puts in our hands. And our culture says to us that we ought to be consumers. We ought to be going after and accumulating wealth and things in order to live a comfortable lifestyle. But Jesus says to those who are followers of him, you are to be not consumers, but you are to be stewards. I'm placing things in your hands. I'm coming back. And when I come back, I want to find you faithful. Here's a third thing. When you read of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that prophetic word about the return of Christ is often accompanied by a call to purity and holiness. If this is true, what kind of people should we be? Since we have this hope, how should we live? And there is an accompanying call to increase purity, godliness, a sanctifying of our life, so that when the Master returns, we'll be ready. And Jesus tells more stories, like that of the 10 virgins waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom. And then finally, the fourth thing is simply this, that we need to be those who are found watching and praying and waiting and expecting. You know, if you believe the end of the age is coming, what do? Let me tell you what you don't do. You don't go hoard a bunch of food and build a bunker and buy some guns and hunker down. Nor do you start wringing your hands about what a mess the world is in and isn't it terrible and look at all these things that are happening. You know what the Bible says you should do if you believe that Jesus is coming soon? You should lift up your eyes because your redemption's drawing nigh. That's right. You should be alert and paying attention. So the scripture says, don't let this day catch you unaware, but be looking for it, be living toward it. So over these next days, weeks, I want us to think about what it means, what it looks like to be a people prepared for the Lord, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed. When you look at the front of your bulletin at the graphic that we use this week, you see that under the word Northridge Church, a people prepared for the Lord, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed. Now, you've heard a lot this morning. I'm going to ask Jeff Grimshaw, who's one of our elders, if he will just pray for us to, as we receive all that the Lord has. Let's all stand.
Dear Lord, You are so good and Your love endures forever. Lord, I just thank You for who You are, and Lord, for calling us to You, for Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, I thank You for what You've done with this, the congregation that's met here over the many years, Lord, and the people represented here, Lord. I thank You for how You've moved in Vietnam, Lord, and how You've worked in the Congo and in Kosovo and in Ecuador and in Jerusalem and in Indonesia, in Bontang. Lord, You are so good. Lord, it's not about us, Lord. It's just all about You. Lord, I have this picture of a relay race, and that we're called to step up and to take our turn, Lord, and to carry that baton in wherever You would have us, Lord, and then be prepared to hand it off to who comes next, Lord. Help us, Lord, to open our eyes and just say yes to You, to Your calling, Lord. It's not about Northridge. It's not about Christian Missionary Alliance. It's about being Your bride, Lord, and just saying yes to Christ. Lord, use us for Your glory and Your kingdom, and that all the glory and the praise would be to Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, amen.